This is Coach to Coach 2, number 4 for the October 2015 Group B, and it's January 25th and Susan Gray Speakman, and I think that's all you need to know. So there.
Sounds
okay. And I don't know if any of it's true, but that's what I think is true right now. There was last summer, Byron Katie did a silent retreat in Switzerland, and it was Being with Byron Katie was the title of it, and it was broadcast internationally. And somebody sent her a note. She was reading notes that people had sent her, so it was all in silence. And somebody said, "I think I got here, and there are all these pictures, and you know, of you, and saying being with Byron Katie. And are you more obsessed with being Byron Katie than being Byron Katie than being?" I think that was it.
Yes.
Yeah, than being. And she said, she kind of laughed, and she said, "You know, I had the reaction, and I thought I would be in big trouble if I thought that's who I was." just when I get a little cynical about her, she does something like that. It's like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not to be cute or clever. I do think she really, that's how she experiences things. So, all right. So we're going to see how the work went, and we're going to check in at some point with Jody and Donna, and we're going to segue into ACT today. That's the plan. So the first step is to just, why don't we just check in, Jen? Well, Jody, are you on?
Yeah, I am. On. Hello.
And hi, and Donna isn't on yet that I know of, but, oh, yes, she is.
I'm here.
You guys want to check in? Okay, so check in with how that, and those of you who missed our earlier installment, it's on the recording. So help get us up to date and tell us how it went.
Go ahead, Donna.
Well, life is being its usual thing.
I had to take off to Texas to take care of my daughter, who is really ill, and she's having a baby, and she's basically on bed rest. And I came at the beginning of the course for a month, and then I went home for about 3 weeks, and I'm back again. So I drove for 2 days because I'm not a good 14-hour drive person. And so I called Jody and I said, "This is what I can do. We can chat on Monday or Tuesday," or that's what she had available, because then she can stay on Wednesday. So we plan to hook up, but it just hasn't happened yet. But
oh, okay.
You what? Love how powerful this session was with changing word from issues, opportunities. It has just really wiggled that deep, deep belief. And I'm thinking, and I remember Martha sharing about how that when her knee wouldn't let her work out, it made her work in. And that's what her body really needed her to do, was do some inner work and not.
So for people, just hold on just a second. Give the whole thought to people because they may not remember.
My health, the belief that I was struggling with is my health is a revolving door of issues. And we changed, somehow the word came up, you know, the opposite of, instead of my health is a revolving door of issues, the thought was my health is a revolving door of opportunities. And then we also changed the look at the door, which was really cool to think of. Instead of a revolving door, it's an open passageway. I haven't like radically changed my health. I brought my unopened yoga mat because I have intentions of doing some things differently and loving my body differently. And the other thing I haven't been able to do is give up Diet Coke because I had sleep apnea and I've been surviving on Diet Coke and caffeine. And the sleep apnea is getting under control, and so I bought a soda stream to drink, you know, carbonated water so that I would drink more water. And so that's a little tiny new thing of it doesn't have to be huge changes for me to think of opportunities that I can take to make my health better and that and to not give up. Basically, I was in a place of every time I try to exercise, I get in a car accident. And I, you know, got in two last year that were not my fault and have had to struggle with blah, blah, blah. And so it just felt like I've got this and then I've got this and then I've got this. But I never thought of, well, what opportunities are there for me to learn about my body and to treat it differently rather than why try to be kind to it? Let's just eat chocolate and sit around and watch television and put my ankle up, you know? So it's been, I mean, we haven't done any more work, but just the work we did has really changed my, the heaviness around that thought feels lighter. It's, I know it's not gone. I have no delusions of it being completely gone, but I feel 1,000 pounds lighter. And so when a thought comes, I notice that that's a thought. It's a thought. I notice that it's a thought, and I can allow it to just be a thought and look at it from more space, more distance, more observing rather than linking to it with such an emotional charge.
So that's a great segue into ACT. I'm not going to take it, right? Because it's actually a good way to talk about the two tools. You notice that it's actually, maybe I will take it, but just for a second. I noticed that by looking at it as a passageway, I mean, that could just keep on opening up because the process of being connected with the body as opposed to being separate, being in mature relationship with the body instead of thinking you're always going to be 16 or, you know, it's always just going to heal 30 or whatever, you know. And so that's a passageway to another relationship in your life. So notice the way that kind of unpeeled, you know, the work was working you. And I hear that that's what all those different perspectives were about. Now, ACT is the last thing you said, and everybody, it's in your manual, there's good material, and I'll review it in a minute, but that's observing I'm having the thought. And then you notice what you said, fuse with it, which is one of the main components of ACT. You could see it, but you didn't fuse with it or connect with it.
And that happened to me through Byron Katie, just a process of doing the work. You start looking at your thoughts like that, you know, parade marching by or the ticker tape going, I have a choice to really embrace this and fondle it or go, that doesn't really serve me well. And I've never been taught that ever.
Well, you know, that just gives me goosebumps because I just got back from her certification yearly. There was a certification thing that I sat in on for people who stay with her for 2 or 3 years, and then that's kind of their orals. And somebody said, this work is so important because it's so radical, and people don't know they're not their thoughts. I mean, that's the bottom line. Mm-hmm. It's radical. Really? They're not real. You know, that's fact or fiction, too. Yeah. So what a wonderful testimonial. And can we just say that I didn't set you up for this? I didn't plant you in the audience or anything.
Not planted. Just part of the drive.
So we'll talk about, I want to come back to ACT, but I really want to check in with people and see what their experience has been working with the work and what there are, so I could really be a resource and answer questions. Okay, is Jennifer here yet?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. And I'm just making sure, you know, checking it out. And there's one other person. I don't know.
This is Lisa. I'm here, Lisa.
Lisa, I gotcha. Gotcha.
Okay.
Silke, are you there? Okay. So, Karen?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay! All right. Now I know who's here. That's all I needed. Thank you. We'll all get to practice some ACT in a minute. Are there any, and I'm going to go back to what Donna just said when I kind of introduce this a little bit more formally in a minute or two. But, again, I want to ask questions where if you were doing the work internally, if you had questions about it with clients, let me make the, I'm not sure I said that on, I think it's in your manual, but .com, there's something called the One Belief at a Time worksheet, and that is for your practice. That works you through the questions, and it's got each question then aligned to write your answers. So it can be a really good part of your daily practice if you want to keep on working with this, and I would suggest it.
Susan, can I just add something? This is Karen.
Uh-huh. Hi.
I'm not going out of order, but I wanted to follow up.
Oh, no.
On, what, gosh, was it Jody or Donna? Who was just talking?
Donna.
Donna, right, about her health issues. And right before class, I watched the Martha video about holding your little dictator, mm-hmm. your wild child in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wondered if anyone remembered that back in the fall when we were with Bev, in Bev's group, one time I was coached, I think it was by Jennifer, actually, and I think it was about, oh, no, of course now my puppy wants me to play. I think it was about, we were practicing really early on the area of least satisfaction, maybe the five whys or something, and my statement was, I'm not exercising or taking care of myself or something like that. And Jennifer did a great job sort of coaching me through the process, and we got to this part where a phrase I used was something like, I'm just drifting, and it makes me uncomfortable because I used to be very good about fitness and exercise, and now I can't make myself do it. I say I'm going to my class after work, and then I just drive by and go home. I don't know. Do people remember that mm-hmm. at all? But
yep.
What's occurring to me now in listening to Donna is that, you know, I didn't really have the language for it then, but I just figured out that what the drifting is, it's my dictator taking a little break for a second and letting me just say, what would happen if I didn't push myself so hard? I think it was my watcher starting to wake up and just be like, let's see what's happening in this situation. Just get a little space from that yelling match between those two little people. So I just wanted to share that because it's like the process is suddenly connecting for me between a couple of
mm-hmm. Beautiful. Oh, fabulous. Absolutely. Yeah. Like that. And that's actually, I'll mention that with ACT too, this idea of being a compassionate witness of your own process, and Martha calls that the watcher.
Mm-hmm.
That is something I, as I work more with people, you know, over time, usually my homework has to do with that observation, maybe recording it, but that's enough. I mean, it's a pretty big deal to be able to be there for yourself in that way. Huge. So congratulations.
Great, thanks.
I'm just resisting the segue because I wanted to devote the first 15 or 20 minutes to the work and follow up, and I love these testimonials. Any other experiences you had around the work or questions, the process of the work?
This is Jody.
Hey.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, Jody, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. It's hard to know if you're muted or not, if I'm muted or not. I did some coaching with Zamrit, and I had an incident earlier in the week where I had taken on a client that was all gung-ho, and then all of a sudden didn't email me back. And anyway, the thought for me was she should have told me the truth. Instead of she had canceled an appointment at the last minute but didn't tell me why. And so that was my thought, and we did the work around it. And what came out of it for me in my turnaround was I should have told me the truth. And what that meant for me is that when I first made contact with this client, my integrity was saying, no, this is not a fit. And after taking the integrity cleanse, I decided that I would only take clients that felt like a fit for me, but I kind of broke my agreement with myself, and I said yes for various reasons and kind of forgot about that until the turnaround came. And, you know, I really resonate with kind of feeling the turnaround in your body, because as soon as I heard that, it was like, you know, my chest just opened up like, oh, I should have told me the truth. I didn't tell myself the truth. And
it's a lot less hopeless than wishing somebody else should do something different. There's more hope
exactly.
For you.
It
gets, you can
well,
do something.
It gets me out of her business, right? Because then I'm in her business thinking, well, she
exactly.
Should tell me the truth. And it gets me back into my business where I can do something. So coming into this week, now I'm back on staying in my integrity and saying, which means that sometimes I will tell someone this isn't a fit, which is hard to do, but it feels so much better when I tell myself the truth.
That's beautiful. The other way to think about it is that you moved out of, and I notice more and more that so much of the basis of the work is I move out of seeing myself as a victim.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because if you're in somebody else's business, you can't do anything about it anyway. You become a victim.
Yeah.
So I would just suggest everybody to listen to that language. And like yesterday, I had a client I've worked with for a year and a half, and I work with her a lot. You know, she just has wanted to do that. And she was saying, we're both victims of their manipulation. And it was in the way of talking about everything else, you know. When I hear the word victim, my marmoset just goes nuts. And that's the kind of thing that you'd say if you're out with girlfriends, having a cup of tea, have a glass of wine, you know. That's the way we talk. But it's a good place to look.
Yeah.
And it was radical for her to really, and she's done quite a bit of work before, but to see that. And she said, she got into it, and she said, I don't even know if my answer to number one and number two is still yes. You know, we're going to, she said, it's got real complex, and I was very certain of myself before. So it can take away the certainty. There's another thing about that one I should, and this sounds like it was exactly perfect, the way it worked for you, but I'm just saying this as a teaching moment. Sometimes the should has an understood that it's understood that they did. So what was your statement? She should have told me the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So in this case, I'm not sure you need to look further, but one thing you can do when you hear a should is underneath that is the assumption that she didn't tell you the truth.
Right.
Mm.
So that's another approach when you hear a should.
Yeah.
This work is really subtle, and it's simple, and it's not. So sometimes I'll just say, so she didn't tell you the truth. Is that true? You can hear how the should implies something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another hot tip. Okay. So, and that's in loving what is. It's in underlying beliefs or something. I mean, it's part of the process. So,
Susan, this is Donna. I just wanted to ask sort of an off-topic quick question. that relates to what Karen just shared. In my real estate business, I would have clients interview me, but I was also interviewing them as to whether we were a good fit. And several times, I either turned them towards somebody that I thought they were a better fit with, and if I really didn't like them, I would just send them on their way because I didn't want to give them to any of my friends. You know, I just don't think I want to hang out in the car with you for 30 days and work through contracts with you. And I just had the verbiage down for, you know, why it wouldn't work in the real estate world. But I know me, and I know that not often, because you do attract the kinds of people that you attract that you usually like to work with. But occasionally somebody tries to push through and say, you need to work with me. And I'm going, no, I really don't. And I had a strong body compass for real estate. So in this business, do you have verbiage for kindly sending people in another direction?
Oh, yeah, I was thinking about how the word verbiage.
Work with them.
Verbiage is different verbal garbage, but so the words, I mean, I just say I have a waiting list.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
It's really easy. And I do. But there are people who crack the waiting list because I know I need to work with them.
Right. Okay. I have a waiting list. That's awesome. Thank you. And that's
great.
Truthful.
Okay, Jennifer.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, this is Lisa. I'm going to play devil's advocate, but
what if that's not
true? We just started. How can we have a waiting list?
Well, I'm just saying that's what I you know, basically I also limit my I have a limited clientele, so that's another way to say it. And then you're limited to the people that you feel you could work with. So I have a limited clientele, and also I do something about pro bono. So I'll have one pro bono client, so I have a policy about it at a time. And I don't always have one, but I have that opening in my mind. So if I come across somebody that really wants to work with me and I know they can't afford it, that's usually in the community, then I have one slot that I dedicate to that. So that's just another structural thing that I've learned over time. Or reduced. I mean, that's the other thing. I also have, ironically, a reduced rate locally compared to the internet. So go figure. I don't know. I have to clean the place. I have to warm it in the winter. And they pay less. But it's sort of a giving back to this community that I feel good about.
Yeah.
So you'll figure it out yourself. But, just I have a limited clientele. So, and I'm finding that's more and more true for me because I'm having people who are really serious, you know, and in serious situations, and I love that, you know. I like working when people are, you know, really at that beginning of square one and in the complete meltdown, if it feels like a match. It's not just anybody who's needy. And that's my body compass because that's my problem. I go to this place, you know, that's really in the head and that's kind of arrogant where I think they need me. And my body compass feels alive from that other place of knowing. So does that help? Or for what it's worth?
Thank you.
You know, those are the things that are just, you do what you're going to do and it will become natural to you. But it's so awkward when you're starting and you don't even have that identity and you don't have the confidence. I mean, I really get it. And so sometimes you just have to adopt things and then you'll change it as you go along for what's more in alignment with you from your experience.
So this is Lisa again. As we're on this. Oh, sorry.
Well, it's Lisa. I heard first and then whoever else was talking. Hold on just a sec.
So Okay, so this is Lisa. I just have this situation. Very early on, as I started taking the course, a woman approached me, heard about the fact that I was taking the course, and has since become my, you know, pro bono client. And I jokingly said to her, and I didn't jokingly, she said, she implied that she would be pro bono from the very beginning because she knew I was just starting. But I wrote back and I said, you know, I will have to charge you $1 per session. And I was actually serious because, and sure enough, now we're months in and she really feels strongly, it must be helping her because she wants to definitely have a date on the calendar every week, which is great. And it's great practice for me and she's so receptive and it's wonderful. But, you know, I'm at a little bit at the point now that I feel maybe the word used or
you raise it. Go to 25. That's my, you know.
But she never even sent me the $1.
Oh, well, there you go. And by the way, when it comes to certification, it has to be paid. And I heard some conversation on the certification team about, I'm not sure how it ended up, but that they're going to ask how much because somebody said something about, and none of this $1 business.
But that's.
So you're busted.
But this. I'm getting.
And I did have a guinea pig when I did spiritual direction. I had a guinea pig for, you know, a couple of years, and she was, you know, a personal friend. And then finally, she ended up at 25 when I'm charging 150 or 175 on the internet.
Right.
And, you know, it was a personal friend, and she just died recently. And it's such a great memory that she came every time. Bought her $25. And, you know, it's just so beautiful, you know. And I did shift it from 3 to 25. And then I have one person at 40. I have one person at 40, and then I haven't seen her for a year. And then she's a teacher, and I was a teacher. But everybody else locally, I charge, this is either 90 to, or 100. And then on the internet, it's 175. So that's my going rate. And I'm less than most master coaches, you know, just because I settled on that and it feels right, and I don't care. I'm not building an empire. I just like, you know, I like how that works for me until I change it. So, I mean, if that's helpful, that's the stuff in setting up shop you're going to talk about, but I could share that anyway. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, somebody was about to talk. Who was it?
Yeah, this is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi. I just had a question about the going back to the work.
Yes, please.
I have someone that I just coached my very first person that's not in the cadet. So, and so coaching with cadets, they kind of know where to go with it. And so this was really interesting for me. How do you get someone who, when you have a turnaround, starts out with, like, powerful, good insight and then goes down the road of negative? So they kind of were like, oh, you know, the thought was my thinking fucked up a perfect life. They're in the middle of getting a divorce. And so the first couple were really powerful, like, okay, I meant to do this. And then it was kind of like, oh, I thought I wouldn't be emotional when he left, or I thought it wouldn't hurt when he moved on, things like that. How do you get them to not go there?
The word that they use, the phrase that they use in the Byron Katie certification, and they still use it, is the work stops working when you stop answering the question.
Mm-hmm.
So it's gently bringing them back, and I usually let them know when we're doing this process of inquiry that's very specific, and it really is a form that we're going to follow because it will guide them to stay closer in. And also, by the way, make sure that they're focusing on, she's focusing on a moment in time.
Mm-hmm.
So the moment that, I don't know what the thought was, but when he left or when she was alone the other night and couldn't sleep, if she can find that moment, then you're looking at, you're doing inquiry, you're meditating on that moment in time. And if anything else, is, you know, just bring her back. It's like, here's your thought. It's like, you know, like you're training a puppy or something. So, you know, we're here. This is the thought. Let's see what else is there. We'll do that thought later. And you might, and you probably are taking notes.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll come back to that one.
So it's almost like she was giving me more thoughts to work on later.
Yes.
We started to go down that road. Okay.
Yes. And, you know, you might even take one or two of them that were powerful and tell her about the One Belief at a Time worksheet and suggest that as homework. If you're going to continue to work with her, you know, that would be a possibility. Or I have people make a list of, I called it the thought catcher after dream catcher, and it turned out that it became part of the Martha Beck program. So I guess I liked it when I first started. I was calling it thought catcher. So the journal and the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet are thought catchers. And so they can keep, I've had people keep lists of the, and this is, gets us to ACP too, because you're, they're just kind of your favorite hits, and you start to see how they cluster. So it's a good segue into ACP.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so, and by the way, that answer that I just gave also was about how do you introduce the work to a client. You know, that's always tricky. And the first time through, you know, I will guide them. I'll say, you know, this is a process that's not necessarily intuitive, but I'll give you some cues, and it's a learning process. And so the turnarounds, you usually have to guide them. But you try to stay out of it, but if they need your help, you invite yourself in. Like, would you like to hear how I would turn that around? Okay, that's etiquette for the mind. We're trying to keep the mind from blocking, you know, and feeling threatened. So it's gentle. So the mind can open. All right, anybody else have questions about? Okay, to remind you, and we might practice that, and, you know, hopefully there'll be time to do some practice, but there is the 9-day school for the work that is really a great opportunity. It's a very intense curriculum. And I noticed that the other teachers are going to do that this year, which is really great because it's really a good way to absorb it. Plus, it's beyond. It's a curriculum. It's beyond just doing the work. And there's a cleanse in L.A. every New Year's that's really great. So there are ways to get it from the source, and Katie's still, you know, doing her thing. So I usually buy the cleanse online. It's by the end of January, you can't order it anymore. If you, you know, because I like, I'm this kind of fact finder person, I can't help myself, and I like to keep up with it. So I'll listen to her facilitating, and it changes over time. It's changed a lot, but I try to stay kind of close to that since I teach it. Apparently, I don't know. I guess I'm doing that. And you can see lots of resources on their worksheet. Oh, and this is really important. You can call the helpline, which is on her Do the Work part of her website. And it's not Byron Katie, it's thework.com. But there is a Byron Katie, and that's her blog, and that doesn't have, probably it has a link. But this is thework.com. It says Do the Work. And call the helpline. And if I have a client I'm concerned about, or they're just overwhelmed with thoughts, maybe they're getting up in the middle of the night with their thinking, you can call that helpline and get a person who's very close to certification, if not certified. You have to be at pretty far along in the program, and they will facilitate you doing the work, and it's free. So I've always felt held by that as a coach, what I, you know, worry about my responsibility. Because they can do that anytime, day or night. It may be somebody from Europe, you know, but it'll just say that you want to do it in English, and they'll just help you do a worksheet if you need or walk you through the work. It's a really great asset as a coach. Okay, so anything else about that? All right, so with ACT, and this, it really is a good segue. I guess I can't remember who I'd be going back to, but earlier, well, I won't even go there, but there was the implication. Oh, the watcher and Martha's exercise with the watcher.
That is a really good part of ACT, because what you're really doing is becoming the watcher. And you'll notice there's several resources, because we obviously aren't going to go into this in great detail. I like the happiness trap because I'm not robust, I guess. It's fine with me. It's plenty. But by Russ Harris, you'll see it in your manual. And the basic concept is it's another mindfulness exercise, and it's very much in connection with the body and the work that we do with the body compass and the thought work. And the basic idea, this is in your manual, is that we suffer for two reasons. One of them is cognitive diffusion. So we diffuse painful thoughts so that they will lose their ability to frighten, disturb, worry, stress, or depress us. And so one of the pieces is to that suffering comes from fusing with your thoughts. So ACT is defusing. So it's the believing the thought, the thing I mentioned earlier. Oh, wait a minute, I'm not my thinking. It's that one. And then the other one is cognitive avoidance, and that's in your book too. And cognitive avoidance is usually goes into your body because you don't want to, because there's too much of a cognitive conflict. So then you suppress it, and that's when you start to have that body holding, you know. Mm-hmm. Problem, situation. And so the basic core principles are that you learn to observe that you don't have to fuse with your thoughts. You learn to accept the feelings, even if they're uncomfortable, and develop more of a tolerance for that. And they call it expansion. What actually the official word is acceptance, but Harris calls it expansion. You connect with the present moment. And the observing self, which is the watcher. And so it's the observer of just exactly what we were talking about. And then there are two others that, to me, the work holds all of this. The values, connecting and clarifying your values, that is what would be true for you, or truer as you go to the turnaround. And then the committed action as a result of that, which is living the turnaround. So that's the basis of ACT. Now, in reality, what I've talked to the other teachers who do practicum too, and I've noticed in myself, is when I'm working with a client, I'll do the work, usually when we're first working on things, and then you start to see that there are clusters of beliefs. And I might have them write their naming their stories, which is in your book, page 4, and begin to see the clusters, the top hits. I think Martha calls it the top 10. I'm not sure. Hit parade. I'm not sure. So it's the ones that you find come up again and again. So you're starting to be able to identify them, which diffuses your connection with the belief. To me, well, I'll give you an example. How most people that I know use it is we'll do the work first. The client is familiar with that tool, and then it's sort of exactly what I think it was Donna said, where you can, I'm not sure who it was, where you begin to realize that you're having that thought, but you don't have to go there. It's like, oh, there it is. There it is. That, to me, that's ACT. So mm-hmm. I notice I'm having the thought that my health is a problem. Or I don't remember who it was, but it was somebody just earlier. And then I notice, I realize I'm having the thought that. So the first step is I'm having the thought that. The second was I realize I'm having the thought that, if you can catch yourself. And that allows you to observe it. And then go on about what you're doing, you know, and see what happens. And if you've already done inquiry on it, it may not last long. It's sort of very similar to is it true, but it's a little bit more, just a different take on it, I think. So I have done the work so much that
I tend to do that, and sometimes a little too fast, and I miss the goodies, and that's a problem. I mean, it really doesn't give me what would really help me sometimes. And one of my cluster is, or my hit parade is, somebody will suffer because I do something wrong. I'll hurt somebody. I'll do something wrong is the overview story, and then it's somebody, and it'll hurt someone, or I'm ashamed, or, you know, I have to hide it. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff like that. So I won't say anything. There's just a whole bunch around that. So the last month of that conference, I decided I had a situation come up. It was really minor, but I decided I wasn't going to do the work on it. I was only going to do ACT to discipline myself. And it was really interesting. I needed to have that personal experience. It was just that I took something out of the overhead bin and my parka came flying out and the zipper or the snap hit somebody on the side of the head. And I was just so chagrined. I mean, I was, you know, like the worst thing that could happen. I was like, what can I do for you? Let me, you know, how can I support you? Do you need ice? Are you okay? You know, and typically where that goes is, do you want to be my new best friend? You know, trying to win them over with my personality, and nothing, and I didn't go that far, but nothing was working. She was mad, and she and her friend were going to stay mad that entire flight. She said, no, no, no. And I was practically writhing in my seat because I so much wanted to fix it. And I realized, oh, that's that cluster. I did something wrong. And it hurt her. You know, I hurt her would be one. I did something wrong. And the two of them together is a double whammy for me. And as a coach, it's a big deal. I get so concerned if I think something I have done or said triggered somebody to do, you know, something that was harmful. I mean, that's my big fear. So I just kept saying, I'm having the thought I did something harmful or I hurt her and because I did something wrong. That was really the double whammy there. And it just was there. And then I'd read a magazine and I feel it exactly, I know where. It's that hard lump in my, just below my heart in my solar plexus. And it's just this shame, you know, it sweeps out from there. And it's really almost like close to nausea, only not, that's a dramatic way of saying it, but it just takes over my body. And it was there. And I usually dissipate it by fixing. And I couldn't. And I had to sit in the seat for 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever it was. And they kept giving me dirty looks. It was just really good. And so I just noticed that I said, you're not going to do the work. And I wanted to find out from my observer, the watcher, the critical, you know, the watcher, will it go away if I don't do anything about it? And I just kept coming back because what you do is you say, I'm having the thought. And I could have listed fact and fiction there, which would have been part of ACT. Like, the fact is the coat came down. The fact is it grazed the side of her head. The fact is she told me she wasn't hurt. The fiction is that I did harm and so forth. So, I was really glad I did that because I actually think it shifted. I know it did. I ended up that she was on my shuttle. Fate would have it. And I didn't have that feeling in my body after I had just really sat with it and just continued to repeat the phrase. So that's an example of ACT. And I hear the other coaches say that they use it if they've done the work or they've done some form of thought work. This is a form of thought work before, and then they can just, they can use it for homework. It's like when it comes up, they've done a lot of questioning. They can say, now, you know, when you have that thought or this cluster, just notice. just notice. I'm having the thought. You don't have to do anything. Just notice. I realize I'm having the thought. So it's the act of observing. I'm being thought. I'm not the thinker. That changes it. So are there any questions from the reading or from what I just said? I realize I'm having the thought I shouldn't allow so much silence on these calls.
So this is Lisa, Susan. So just to be clear, and sorry if it's very elementary, but you say the act of noticing I am being the thought, therefore the thought is not real, therefore I let the thought go. Is that
what I said? And it was I am being thought. It's a phrase. Mm-hmm. It's like when you do yoga and they talk about being breathed.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts come through me, but they're not mine.
Okay.
It's really radical, but just notice the thought's here, the thought's coming through. That's not who I am. That's the huge piece in all of this. The diffusion. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So sometimes I've heard, you know, in meditation, you think of clouds and you think of them, you know, just as they go by up in the sky, and you just see them and you see them, they're there, and then they, you know, you don't see them anymore. Kind of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Similar to that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And the book Happiness Traps has a lot of, it's a guide for it, and there's all this other material by the guy that started it, Stephen Hayes. And he's done quite a bit of research, but that's the basic idea. And the clouds may be one of the activities. There are a lot of activities. So if you're doing a workshop or you want to use this tool a lot, I would suggest getting the book because it does have really good ideas on how to share it. I also use this in relation to beliefs that are limiting. It's like Jay Hendricks calls upper limiting, that when you're about to step into a level of creativity or bigness in the world, you will tend to upper limit yourself, which means that you'll have fear and you'll close down and you'll back up. And it's really good for that, too. It's just I realize that I'm upper limiting. It's his phrase, and that's a good book, by the way. I forgot the name of it. Something about leap. Big leap or taking a leap, something like that. Hendricks, H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S. So that's kind of the idea. And then you go back in his model. This is about when your clients are moving into being more creative in their lives, noticing that you have it, noticing it's there. You might do the work on it or you might not. And then going back into your life and wait for a new creative idea to come up, because often the thoughts block creativity, particularly when you're on the edge of being bigger in the world. And that's a whole subsection of this. I've actually never even mentioned that on the calls before, but it seems related at this moment. So you got it. Are there any other questions or thoughts about that? Kind of a big subject.
I have a question. This is Jody. Oh, Erin.
Oh, okay. So I guess Jody was first in the chat.
Okay. So my question is, I'm sort of curious why Martha is giving us these two different ones, because the work really, when you really study the work, it's sort of all-encompassing, and that's, and I kind of wonder if it's just because some clients will do better with ACT, and I know somewhere it says, you know, use your body compass to see which one would suit your clients. So I'm just curious about, you know, two sort of different ways of working with thoughts, and Susan Grace, which one you usually use with your clients. Or do you use
Well, I kind of what I said, yeah, I do use them both. I use, obviously, I'm a, you know, can't hide the fact that I'm committed to the work because I just see, think it's so elegant, you know, but you have to live with it a long time to get to the place that, you know, you, I mean, I have, anyway, I'm very slow. And and so ACT can be a shortcut.
Yeah.
If you're just noticing that, you know, if Katie says you can't believe something that you don't believe. In other words, if you've done the work on it, you've taken apart it enough, and you look at the legs that it's standing on or the babies that it has, the spot, whatever it is, you really go into it, then you won't be able to see it in the same way. And I think that's true. And if I've done a lot of work on a particular subject with somebody, then we then I might give ACT. You know, I might say, just notice what are your hit, what are your top hits, and thoughts, and what are the thoughts that you notice keep recurring, and learn to observe them, and then see if that shifts. And it may or may not, but it's just another tool. And I think I use it when I'm, you know, like I have one right now that I think that my husband and daughter need me in order to communicate well.
Mm.
And they happen to be working on a weekend workshop, and they're very vocal, and they tend to get into conflict a lot, and that's their process. And I'm out there trying to, you know, do something. Well, I've done the work on it. I could do the work on it more, but sometimes you're in the moment, and it's, you know, so I'm saying, oh, I see. I seem to have the thought that they need me to resolve their conflict. And it's very compulsive on my part. So I have to sit with it, and it doesn't always feel good. And then I might later on, I mean, this is more in the, to me, ACT is kind of in the moment. Later on, I might go, they need my help. Is it true, actually, that you could do that in the moment, too? But I might actually do a worksheet on one or the other of them. Or both. Because
okay,
I have thoughts about both of them. You're welcome. I'm actually going to the workshop and offered my services as a facilitator of the work for them. Oh, and then I need to not hold my breath. I'm being briefed. Remember that. But see, that's an example of a real cluster for me. And there's another word that goes with that, that runs with fire trucks.
Yes.
And I think of that often when I'm, you know, it's like, oh, there you go. That's what it does. You're in trouble. Okay, so Karen.
Yeah, my question kind of follows up with what Jody was asking. I was also trying to think about how the two systems fit together. And, you know, what I come up with is, what you know, what they share is that idea of being able to separate yourself from your thoughts. Obviously, that's really powerful, right? Whichever method you use, when you understand there's a space between you and these thoughts that are thinking you, like the universe mm-hmm. is breathing you, you know, that's mm-hmm. really helpful. But my question is, really with both of these tools, the part I'm having trouble like understanding, just because I haven't really done enough self-coaching or coached enough clients yet, is how does changing a thought translate into different behaviors or actions? How does it actually happen in practice? Like, we know it takes a while, right, to do the brain rewiring. So we know you're going to be in these situations where you suddenly become aware of the thought and you say, oh, but I know that's not true, or I can't be sure that's true. Could you give or anyone some, just like some concrete examples of working with clients where you feel that your action can shift in the moment? And there's something you do or do. Do you know what I'm asking? I'm just...
Yes, I probably do.
Cindy.
I thought maybe
I think
someone
I have,
in the class wanted to talk.
Yeah, I have...
Somebody wanted to answer. Yeah.
Hi, this is Cindy. I was working with Jen this week, and she's really, really good at this. And one of the things, it was about, I'm down visiting my parents in Florida. My father's 84 years old, and he wants me to teach him yoga. And I was like, I didn't want to do this. What if he hurt himself? I'm not a certified yoga instructor. This is my thing. Leave me alone. It was all that kind of stuff. And after all the turnaround, what came out
or what I hadn't realized or didn't see is that my father really just wanted to spend time with me. And that completely changed my visit here. It's unbelievable how it diffused everything. And this is like the best visit I have had in years because it allowed me to see what the truth was through what was really happening as opposed to what I was projecting to happen or what I thought would happen or what I was afraid of would happen. And that was it. So that just came from the turnaround, from nothing else. I did nothing to make the change happen.
So, Karen, right?
Yeah.
And Jen, are you on?
I am on, but I don't want to take credit for that, Cindy, because that wasn't one we worked on together.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was.
Oh,
it was
Cindy,
no,
okay.
We worked on
Cindy,
jealousy.
Right.
Oh, we worked on, oh, okay, you're right. I don't know what, oh, I worked with Robin on it. I think that's right.
Yes, yes, but thanks. Thinking of me.
Okay.
But you are really.
Well, anyway, I think that, and so I would say with that as an example, and I bet you could have done it, Jen. and really, it's your work, Cindy. I thought it was Karen.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's totally you did the work, right? It's you understanding your own mind. I think the classic answer to that is the mind requires proof. That's one of Katie's little mantras. So the examples are important in the rewiring. And I'm guessing that the shift happened in the examples.
Yes.
Tell me where I'm wrong. Okay. Yeah?
Yes. Yes. No, that's,
so,
true. That's exactly what happened. All of a sudden it was like boom.
Mm-hmm. So this is actually related to, I think, a response I was going to give to the last strand on the forum today. I think it was Melissa, and I just decided I wouldn't make a point of it. Melissa, are you on still? Okay. Anyway, Melissa said, my body betrays me, and she said the turnaround itself is so powerful, or I failed my friend coworker. Those would be the original thoughts, and the turnarounds would be, say, I didn't fail them, and then coming up with three examples. So
I am on,
that would
by
be,
the way.
That's what I'm talking about. Pardon me?
I am on, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Took a while to get
under it. Yeah. Yeah. So, and I think that you must have already done that. I was going to post a response, but I thought it's a good thing to point out in class. And when you did your work on those, did you take it to the turnarounds and the examples on one or the other? Because those are huge thoughts. I'm guessing they have clusters. But
oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So did you take it to the turnaround and the examples?
Yes, I. Well, I didn't get all the way through, but yes, I did take it to the turnaround. And the turnaround is what creates so much power for me when I realize, and it's kind of that recognition that it is only a thought that I've had when I have the turnarounds that introduce and with all those other thoughts that that seem to, I don't know, somehow, you know, fit better or I'm more comfortable with or seem truer. I guess that's the reality is they seem truer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I guess it is in the examples that things actually shift. And the example that I gave about the client that said that we've both been manipulated by our partners, we've been victim of manipulation by our partner. When we got to the turnaround, it was a thing, and really it was I've been a victim of my own manipulation of myself. And then she could look back at examples. And again, you need examples. You know, when did I do that to me? And so that's how somebody asked for a specific example. That was how that one kind of played out. Okay. So anything else about this overlap between the two? And the other, because I want to get everybody get a chance to practice. Okay, well, we're going to do one thing first. I'd like everybody to sit and write down, say, the look at the situation that you had recently where you felt like you were the most closed down or stressed,
and see if you can find a thought there. Or if you have thought, you know, if you have your cluster and you know what it is, choose the name the cluster, like I described when I had, you know, with mine, which would be I'm wrong, and I hurt somebody. Write it down. And we're gonna sing these to the tune of Happy Birthday all at the same time. So, and you're gonna have to hear my froggy voice this morning, apparently, if you don't all sing. So let's all sing.
Okay.
So it's like this. I was wrong and I hurt somebody. Join me. I'll start again. I was wrong and I hurt somebody.
My
Oh, that was scary.
Oh my God.
That was really horrible.
That's silly.
Oh, God.
Kind of what it's worth. And that's a diffusion thing you can do. It's like, really. Oh, and by the way, about the thoughts, we want everybody to get a chance to, I'm going to do some practice now, but those Byron Katie mantras is there are no new thoughts. That basically we're all thinking the same thoughts. So any thought you have, somebody else has. You've had before. So when I facilitate Power Hour sometimes, and by the way, remember, that's available. I think I'm doing it next week on Wednesday morning, but it's available 5 Pacific Monday, 10 Pacific Wednesday, and it's an amazing community. People just come on, and they just want to do the work, and that's what we do. But so sometimes I just have, well, actually, when I teach it, it's like, okay, everybody, think of when you thought that thought and think of your situation. And then we can, one person, you know, I'll ask the questions to, but everybody else can answer it themselves. So people will sometimes just have a pen and they'll be doing the work on when they believe this thought. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's an invitation. How you could use Inquiry Power Hour for your own good besides just it's all good anyway, but, you know, listening. All right. So I guess I'm having this thought. I want to be able to serve you best. I guess I'm having the thought that we haven't had many chances to just do a whole coaching thing, and I'd like somebody who'd like to step up to coach someone and kind of walk it all the way through the work, including, oh, by the way, the living the turnaround is another way. Somebody was asking, how do you know it changes behavior? When you get to the turnarounds and you say, what would you do tomorrow? Or how would your ordinary life look tomorrow if that were truer? Just the same as how you're living your life, but the only thing is you don't believe it. Be specific. And then it's living the turnaround. And they might give you two or three examples. Oh, well, one example, and then that becomes their focus for the week. And I know I mentioned it last week, but I wanted to reinforce that one. Okay, so who'd like to have an experience coaching and who has a painful cluster or thought? You know you want to. You can feel it welling up and you're scared.
Yep.
That's upper limiting. Mm-hmm. What's the belief you have? Write it down.
Yep.
Okay, now speak up. Who wants to be a client and who wants to be a coach?
I'll do either. This is Cindy.
Who's this?
Cindy?
Cindy?
Jen, I'll do either.
Okay. Okay, Cindy and Jen. And I know you guys have done this before, so I mean, I want to make sure everybody gets a chance, and I know we've had chances to do small pieces. Everybody has by now.
Was
there anybody else that wanted to speak up? Because this is open and really want everybody to get what they came for.
Susan Grace, can I just ask a question before we start? I thought we were learning ACT today.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I'd like you to integrate it all, and you can do ACT. That's what I was going to say, or the work, or both. Does that make sense?
So we can do whatever we decide, basically.
Absolutely.
Okay, but I'm out of this because I've done it before, so I'll
yeah, and I've done it before too. So pick somebody who hasn't.
Wait a minute, is that Cindy and Jen that are talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah, because you said that we did it before, so we don't want to hog the time.
No, yeah, I heard that, and I opened, but you may be doing it if nobody else steps up. Let's just give them a little bit of awkward silence and see if they do.
This is Lisa, this is Lisa. Good. I'm going to speak up, but I guess I'd like to be coached.
To be coached, okay. Who would like to coach that hasn't had the chance? Okay, so Cindy and Jen have both coached, but I don't think Jen, have you coached when I've been your backup person?
I've done the work. You were with us since I did the work, right? I was the first one to do the work.
Oh, you
I
were.
Coached.
Okay. Oh, there you
I
were.
Was,
number
but
one coach.
That doesn't mean I can't.
Yeah. And Cindy, have I backed you up?
Yes, you have.
Okay.
I haven't really been a client. I haven't been a client,
pardon?
But I've been a – I don't think I've been a client, but I've been a coach.
Lisa?
Yep.
You said that.
Yep.
Yeah. Lisa's a client, and I'm just going to close my eyes and pick one of you, and it went to Cindy.
Okay.
So, and you get to – and whatever – however you want to set this up, just do it, and, you know, if it was there, just find the thought and see what you decide to do. And and we're going to allow time for that, okay?
Okay, sure.
Oh, and the rest of us are going to take notes.
Hi,
we're going to have plenty of time to debrief. Okay.
Okay, great, thanks. How's everything going?
It's going okay, great.
Yeah. Oh,
yes.
Okay,
yesterday was great.
Yes, it was. It was. So what is it that you're finding is your area of least satisfaction today?
So, you know, this in kind of doing the getting ready for today and trying I guess I'd like to talk about my about the difficulties that we're having as a whole family with our daughter.
Okay.
So just as background for everybody, my husband and I have two children, a 9-year-old and a 7-year-old, and the 9-year-old is our daughter, and her name is Alicia, and she's been very erratic. Just most recently, and it's affecting all of us.
Okay. Can you talk about a specific incident, perhaps, that's happened that is making...
So, it's taken... generally, we've been working with... a psychiatrist and a behavioral therapist with her. She meets with him as well. And he knows her now for a year and a half. And his thought originally was that she needed some medication. And we were very resistant to it, and we've put it off. But then we went to see, upon his recommendation, an actual psychiatrist who met with her. And she works with kids that are on the spectrum. And she basically was able to diagnose her in one session, saying she's very high functioning, but she's on the spectrum. And that she felt that a medication would be helpful to her. Very light anxiety antidepressant medication. And we've kind of, my husband and I have kind of realized that we agree that we would love for something to help her out, to help her feel better in her skin. And so we agreed, and I got the prescription, and we mentioned it to our daughter, and the reaction was absolutely as usual. I mean, it's dramatic. Any reaction is dramatic, but this one was particularly dramatic. So I tried to get out of it, and I asked the behavioral therapist to talk to her about it, and which he did, and the reaction was as explosive as it was with us. I refuse to do something, this is what she said, I refuse to do something that I'm not comfortable with, and I don't want to take it, and started crying and in hysterics. Nobody understands me. I don't want to take it. So then we came back to us, and we basically said, this is not an option. You can take it in a different form, but you're going to give it a try. And if not, we'll go and talk to the doctor. So, you know, just this morning I tried again, and I showed her the pill. She claims she can't swallow a pill, and just to show you how she is, I gave her just a sip of water to try to just throw down a sip of water. She took the water, and she almost had, and she all of a sudden she started screaming. The pill was inside the water. It's in my throat. She almost started choking up, and she choked up something that was clearly stuck in her braces or something that she had in there, because there was nothing in the water. But this is the type of stuff that we deal with, and so it's dramatic every time. And she didn't take the pill, so I am feeling very frustrated that she is so oppositional.
Okay. Hi. Go ahead.
Gotcha. No, I'm just saying I'm here. We're having one to call.
Okay. My hunch is from listening to you that this whole situation causes you a tremendous amount of pain because you can't change anything, and everything you do hasn't turned things around. Tell me where I'm wrong.
True. No, you're not wrong.
Okay. And,
you know, and it causes me pain, but it causes everybody else pain. And I see my husband, who's, you know, he's very involved, and he's very affected by this. And it's you know, it's very disruptive, and it's been going on for many years. And we just, you know, we'll go ups and downs, and it's something very untangible because she's so high-functioning. I was thinking, you know, if it was any other kind of pill, if she had to take antibiotics, I you know, there would be no way around it. If it was any other kind of illness, or there wouldn't be. But because it's so, I don't know what the word is, malleable, or, you know, it's so gray, you know, it's not black and white. So
right.
It could help or it could not. It's testing it, you know. So that's where.
Yeah. Yeah. When can you say more about how you feel, or how it, when you said that your husband is very involved and it affects him and the whole situation affects you, can you say more about how the effect it has on him and your son, what that is to you, how that feels to you?
You know, it's sadness. I think it's just deep sadness, and I feel it in my lower, in kind of in my stomach.
Okay.
Coffee talk?
Yes, please.
Okay, so here, what, I imagine you have a lot of thoughts that are saved, and this is one of those things where it's like, how do you eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time. There's so many different parts, right? Is that what you noticed, Cindy?
I did, and right after she just spoke about how she was feeling, my initial response would be to go into that, to use some of the feeling work, you know, where you went into your body and you identified it and you saw it outside of you and it spoke. But that's not what we're working on. So, and I don't know if that would get to the specific limiting belief. But what, I mean, I thought of a couple of things, which is that, you know, go ahead, speak.
Oh, no, I'm just your wingman.
Right. Okay.
So what are the couple things you thought?
Well, there were a couple of limiting beliefs that I felt were there, which was I'm responsible for the happiness or the wholeness of my family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Yeah.
But, and just as a little trick,
yeah.
If I were going to frame that, I might say my family needs me to whatever it is. The reason for that is that you get better turnarounds if it's not an I statement. Does that make sense?
Right. Okay. Yes, it does.
If you can frame it that way. Also, right. There's another undercover thing going on, which if this were my client, I would put on the agenda next, which would be about the husband.
Right.
He needs my protection or.
Right.
I think you heard that. I bet your mama said.
Yes, it did. I have it written down right here, actually. Yeah.
Perfect.
That's why I went back
so,
there. Yeah.
So fly. Just see what happens.
Okay. Okay, Lisa. My hunch is that you feel your family needs you to keep them whole, to make sure they're all okay. Tell me where I'm wrong.
As I was hearing the coffee talk, I think it's more I get a cry out for help from my daughter and my husband, and it was this the other one is a bystander, and my son, he just the effects on him hopefully will come out maybe later, but right now he's okay. It's really a cry for help from both of the two of them.
Can you say more about that? Well, why is it your job to fix it? Okay. Are you okay, Lisa?
I wonder if we lost Lisa.
Are you still there?
Hello, I'm back.
Okay, all right.
Sorry, I'm back, but I was going to make a joke out of this because somebody called me and I tried to put down the call, but then, you know, it's my fleeing. I'm getting out of it. Like, get me out of this.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, and actually, in actuality, you know, when there's such tragedy, like it happens, I kind of like want to get away. Sorry, Cindy, you were asking me why.
It's okay.
I.
Why is it your job to fix it?
Well, I mean, I guess we can go back into a cultural thing of I'm the mother, I'm the matriarch. I mean, I'm strong. I should have this under control.
Okay, can I ask you?
She's
something?
My daughter.
What?
Yeah.
Good job. Go.
Why should you? Why should you have this under control? What is it that you know that you have in your wheelhouse that you should have this under control?
Why should I have it under control? Because that's what's expected of me?
Okay, so pause. This is so good.
Yeah.
So, Cindy, you're not, and she's not listening. Lisa's not listening. You guys are going to need to continue this later, and I'll be on the forum with you. But the thing that we just exposed with a personal religion, I think we talked about that last week, where it's been an unexamined belief. And it's about mothers. Did you hear it?
I did.
Those roles are really good to look for because there's a whole wealth there. So see if you can frame it up and at least start however you want to do thought work.
Okay, Lisa. So the limiting belief I'm hearing you say is that mothers are supposed to make everything right. Tell me where I'm wrong.
No.
Okay.
That's true.
Okay. Do you absolutely know that it's true that mothers are supposed to make everything right?
No.
Okay. How do you feel when you think that thought, that mothers are supposed to make everything right?
You know, it's very interesting because my mind tells me something and my body tells me something else. So my mind is telling me, or maybe they're both the same. I have a very high opinion about women in general. And I think, I mean, we're all women here, so but in the work I do is with women. I think we are much more connected. We're more reliable. So actually, when I think the thought, mothers are supposed to make everything right, it actually makes me feel good. I mean, kind of a happy feeling. Yes, it's very bizarre because I know in my mind that's not, we don't have that responsibility.
Okay,
but my
so
body is telling me.
Okay. Hmm. In this situation, if you bring yourself back to a place, a moment, when Alicia is out of control.
Yeah.
And you have the thought that mothers are supposed to make everything right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
No.
How does that feel?
No. Sometimes we can't, it's beyond our control.
Okay. Okay. Now, in that same moment, if you no longer have the thought that mothers are supposed to make everything right, how would that be? What would that feel like?
Yeah, it's freeing. I mean, I have to say, I kind of, even in the situation I'm thinking of, which is very helpful to think of an actual situation, there's not really much I could do. So without that thought, it's even better because maybe I don't have the guilt.
Okay. All right, let's try a couple of the turnarounds, okay?
Yeah.
What would the opposite be of mothers are supposed to make everything right?
Mothers are not supposed to make everything right.
Okay. Can you give me three sentences that would support that?
There are situations in which we don't have control over it, and we, it's up to, it's not our business. It's
good.
You know, it's,
very good. Can you give me one more?
Yeah. Mothers are not supposed to make everything right. Mothers can make mistakes.
Okay.
Because of the time, I'm going to have to do the pause button here.
Yes.
And do a debrief. I'd love to get some feedback for you. And Lisa, I wanted to say one thing about how you said you left and came back, and that's what you do. That in process work, that's called a secondary process, where you notice that what you do in that moment is what you often do. And that's a whole piece of work that would be really interesting. So look at what you were thinking, if you can catch it, and do some work on that too, okay?
Okay.
Yeah. I have to get away. I can't stand this. It's too, whatever.
I I know exactly how I do it. I go running. I go to an exercise class. I know it.
Okay. All right. And it came up on the call. And I will, if that happens with a client, I will name it. Something that interrupts, if it's related to our work, I'll mention it after I do inquiry or whatever and notice and do some work on that. Okay, Cindy, wow. All right, let's hear something from people about Cindy. What did you notice? It was very interesting.
Susan, this is Amara.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Good to hear your voice again.
Oh, thanks. This is actually just related to what we were speaking about when Lisa came back on the line. I'm not sure if I heard her right, but I believe she said about wanting to make kind of light of it or make a joke because that's what she does when there's a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the language of the word tragedy that made me think, why is this a tragedy?
Beautiful. Oh, I'm so glad you caught that.
Very good.
Yeah, my marmoset was doing the Irish jig there, right on the windowsill.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a really good question. Excellent listening, Amara.
Thank you.
There's so much here. It's just really, really authentic. Anybody else? What did you notice?
Hi, it's Karen.
Hey.
For the first time in some of these calls, I really felt the experience of be the untroubled space for your client or whatever. What is the phrase?
Yeah.
I noticed it because there was a part early on, maybe before the coffee talk, where I almost heard Cindy take a deep breath, and I was feeling it myself. I was feeling a little bit her overwhelm at how much there was there to unpack. Like, I felt I could feel that, but then later I really didn't feel that. I heard you, Cindy, just really be there for her. It wasn't about you performing, am I coaching okay? It's like you really were that space. I don't know how else to explain it. I felt the full presence of, I'm here. I'm here to help you figure this out.
This is Jennifer. I noticed that when Lisa was sort of talking about how this belief made her feel good and happy, that she brought that Cindy brought into the moment because she could tell that she was just thinking what her belief mother should, but she wasn't really thinking of what happens in that moment. And I love that she brought her back into that and just made her feel, because I think Lisa was trying to avoid the pain when she was saying, oh, that thought makes me feel happy. It serves me well.
Hmm. Yes, to all of that. Really. There was a shift, Cindy. Did you feel it?
I did.
You just went, oh. You know,
I did. I felt it.
My energy's right at my solar, at my pelvis now and dropped. It's grounded.
Yeah.
It's quite beautiful. So I love, and here's a specific example of when you did that. I mean, I'm hoping that you will be able to continue with Lisa, and this is a very complex situation, so just choose part of it. Mothers are supposed to be, I like that you framed it that way. And here's a little, when she said, well, I like it because women are strong.
Right.
But there's a really good response to that that I use, and it's, well, and I've heard Katie do it, and it's, well, then the part that you like is fine. Let's look at the way that it creates suffering for you.
Okay.
So we're kind of looking at the underbelly with this
right.
Word.
Right.
And that really helps to know that, be real clear about it.
Okay.
And then you just framed it in such a calm. That was the moment that I put calm, positive reframing. It was really inviting her into that presence. It was quite nice. And when you get to the turnaround, what you can say instead of three sentences, I know that sounded like it felt awkward to you anyway, just can you give me three genuine examples is a good way, or is good language for that.
Okay. Three genuine examples. Okay.
Yeah. Three examples of how, and really get specific. If she can find a genuine example in her life, you know.
In her.
Even
that's
if it's
what,
small.
Right. Okay. Right.
You know, like my daughter isn't oppositional when she's asleep. Or, you know. That gets the ball rolling.
Right.
Although
not really, actually, like, ladies.
Oh, okay. Whatever. Maybe we won't do that. Let's not do it on the dog. But anyway, yeah, stay away from that. But anyway, the point is, that's just a bad example of what I'm saying. If you can find anything, it'll start the ball rolling.
Yeah. I was so glad that we came up with it's not our business. But I thought you came up with some good turnarounds for the opposite, Lisa. I really did.
Okay.
There were some really good ones.
Mm-hmm. You know, and my comment is, this is Lisa, I didn't think it was going to go to the mother. It took a turn that I wouldn't have expected at the beginning. I don't know why, but I agree, Cindy. I appreciate very much how you brought me back, and I agree also that I could tell your energy shifted. But the bringing me back to the concrete moment in time, because it could be so overwhelming, but thinking of a one specific instance is very helpful. Yeah.
Good. And Cindy, you seemed to really be, you must have done a lot of practice with this, because you didn't use the language that one often hears there, but you set it up in that way, that moment in time. So that was really good. And the language, just for everybody that you might want to think about, is, this is another should, related to the should. How do you react when you believe that mothers are supposed to make everything right and you can't? But you set it up anyway.
Right.
But you feel out of control is what you said. And I thought that was really intuitive and a real good move.
I'm sorry, Susan. Can you repeat what you just said?
It would be like, I think of it as in the should package, but it's like when they say, well, like mothers are supposed to make everything right, and in this situation, you can't. You can add that to any should statement or supposed to statement. Because and you got to it anyway, and your wording was fabulous. It was very authentic. It was something about it, and you can't control it, or and you're, you know.
Yeah.
So that you were really in it, but I was just saying that's just a kind of a key phrase or a way to look for it should, and it's for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Oh my gosh. Okay. Are there any other comments or questions on this? It was a wonderful example.
This is Jody, and I also really enjoyed that, and thank you to both of you for your courage. And just thinking about, you know, being a mom and working with teenagers, what I've really gotten from Katie and her sharing really honestly about her own teenager when she was younger and doing things that she didn't think she should do, how really going to that place might be helpful. Like, for example, you know, questioning, you know, my daughter should take that medicine, or my daughter shouldn't have meltdowns, or, you know, whatever the behavior is that we don't like and it causes pain for us and maybe other members of our family. I found that personally helpful to question those thoughts and turn them around to myself, which would empowers me to, again, get back into my own business. And I noticed my attitude towards my child changed drastically, and sometimes their behavior would change as a result of that, sometimes it wouldn't. But anyway, that's just another sort of...
And you know how she does that is... they shouldn't be taking drugs. I shouldn't be taking drugs. And then the client will say, well, I don't take drugs. And she says, well, how often are you addicted to thinking about their drug usage or to what, you know? So it kind of gets into the side door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I shouldn't use, well, she shouldn't use, I shouldn't use. And it's not necessarily literal.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I think, is that kind of a at least akin to what you were talking about, Jody?
Oh, yes. Yeah, her example that she uses is around her husband shouldn't smoke, and the turnaround was I shouldn't smoke, even though she doesn't literally smoke. Every time she thinks negative thoughts about her husband, it's like her brain is smoking. And, I just, anytime there's a should on our child's behavior, or what our child should or shouldn't do, I just find it really helpful to question it and turn it around for myself, because that's my power. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't make children take medicine or act a certain way or not be on the spectrum or what, you know, and I know that's so painful, but I think it's more painful when we hold that should.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds to me like you have a couple coaches. What do you think, Lisa?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
I would.
Jody, you're on the spot,
Donna.
Again.
Sure.
Donna. Okay, Donna, say something.
You guys, I personally have found, because of my busy schedule, that the ACT for me, not for others, with the facts versus the fiction has been really helpful. And as a mom, I definitely had a story about what a mom should be like. Growing up abused, I made this story of, you know, what a perfect mom would look like, and then I aimed for that. And so, oh my gosh, did I have I should and I shouldn't, and I really had to separate, well, this is what I think a mom should be, but these are the facts, and getting out of guilt with the mom theme was really a lot of hard work for me to go, oh, moms are human, moms have to sleep, moms have to breathe, moms have days when they're sick, blah, 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 and giving myself kindness and grace as a mom that wasn't abusive, but wasn't the image that I thought I needed to be, and it wasn't actionable. You know, my fictional story was not actionable in living the day in and day out.
So
I personally think, for me, I did some ACT stuff, and I wish I had my notes because they're in Colorado, but it was just, like, so simple because I just wrote down, okay, here's the facts, but here's the story that I'm distorting, and oh, my gosh, and the self-compassion that came up when I saw that, you know, my story was really not doable. I have these crazy goals of being this different kind of person and very impatient when I strive for a virtue and I fail. And so
yeah.
Can I ask a question? Would you have been at the, because I just heard Donna say something that was very true for me in this particular situation. At the end of this coaching session, would you then stay to Lisa and talk about the fact that notice every time you have the thought or feel that you're in that situation where mother should make everything right? Is that the kind of work you would give her to go and do after the session?
Are you asking me?
Yes,
or are you asking Donna? Yes.
No, I'm asking you as a result of what Donna said. In other words, that the story, said the story's there. The story's very strong. And so as a part of the wiggling process to notice it, you know, to make that part of your homework, so to speak, is to notice when that happens, when that story starts playing.
I'm still not sure who you're talking to. Was it Donna?
I'm talking
or me?
To you, Susan, to you.
Okay. Absolutely, absolutely, and thank you for pointing that out. That's exactly what I was saying.
Okay.
And it is kind of an ACT thing, and then if you've done some work on it, then it can be just ACT. You know, you've taken the part, you've looked at it, and you can, then it's easier to see that you're having the thought that.
Right.
So I think they fit together hand in glove.
Well, I think also because I know just as thinking of myself as a client, I loved homework. You know, it made me feel like I was actually doing something.
Fiction is good for that. That's what I heard, right?
Yeah, very much.
It's really good homework, the fact and fiction, or the story that I'm telling myself.
Okay.
I've even had clients do it because I used to teach archetypal mythology stuff, and so I've even had people work with fairy tales, but it's a story that they're telling themselves. Don't change it up sometimes.
Yeah.
But, yes, beautiful. Okay. Oh, you guys, I don't want to say goodbye. You notice I'm lingering, and we all are. That was a really beautiful call. I think there were a lot of good examples. And, wow, what a sharp group. That's my story, and because I like it, I'm keeping it. So I will continue to be active on the forum. I do look and see if there's something for me under my strand, you know. So if you have any questions, please let me know. And I did mean it when I said I think we had a couple volunteers, Lisa. And that they'll show up for you. So you can do that on the forum or on the side. Are there anything
thank you.
For the good of all? Okay. Well, thank you all. It was
thank you.
I love
thank
love
you.
Hanging out with you. And if we ever have a conference again and I'm there, introduce yourself. Okay.
Will do. Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank bye. You.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Hmm.
very warm.